Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the resources available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth is called Christians in a Cancel Culture. It's a book written by Joe Dallas. He is the quintessence of speaking truth with grace in a hostile world. And I say of this book that the cancel culture is, well, it's a spreading madness. It's a virus of twisted thinking. Belief in the normalcy of the male-female sexual union, well, it's now viewed as being homophobic. The immutable nature of our assigned sex considered transphobic. And the value of the unborn, misogynistic. The dam has burst, and it has submerged basic Christian morality and ethics. And yet, characteristically, as I write in this endorsement of this very important resource, Joe does not merely curse the darkness. He equips Christians in the art and science of conducting difficult discussions, wielding the Christ-mandated gavel of grace. Again, this book, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Also want to mention that when you go to the web at equip.org, you will see the many different outreaches, most of which I've gotten involved in one way or another. For example, I'm now doing a Hank Unplugged short. And what that means, in essence, is that when I come in the morning, at least most mornings, I turn on my phone and I use the voice memo and I record something that's on my mind, something that's, well, affecting us in our culture. And it's all done with the purpose of getting Christians to think Christianly, equipping Christians to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. Of course, we do the Hank Unplugged podcast. You can find those on the web at equip.org or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, and so much more. This ministry making a difference while there's yet time, including in print through the Christian Research Journal. If you're not subscribing, go to the web at equip.org, and you can remedy that woeful condition right there on the web, equip.org. Well, we have been away from Matthew's gospel for a little while, but we want to get right back in at Matthew 12, verses 38 through 42. And this is where Jesus Christ is asked by the Pharisees for a miraculous sign. So they say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." And then Jesus says in response, "A wicked and an adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and and three nights in the belly of a huge fish. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh, says Jesus, will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now, well, now one greater than Solomon is here. Over the decades of doing this broadcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I have been asked so many questions about this very passage. There's one that immediately comes to mind, which is, was Jesus really in the grave for 3 days and three nights? Well, in the passage at hand, Jesus specifically says that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And yet the Gospels also tell us that Jesus died on the day before the Sabbath, a Friday, and he rose on the day after the Sabbath, in other words, Sunday. So obviously, he wasn't in the grave 3 days and three nights. You know what's funny about this, and maybe ironic, just a matter of days ago, a group of people sitting in a restaurant spotted me walking by. They recognized me, and they asked if they could ask me a question. Guess what? It seems as though they were discussing this very matter. And they were doing so because there was a skeptic among them who was telling them that this passage was a grand example of either Jesus or the Bible getting it wrong. You could kind of tell that this skeptic was parroting something he had heard and never really thought through very carefully. However, I will tell you one thing. He had the attention of the friends that were sitting around him, and those friends seemed eager to solve the apparent contradiction. In other words, these were friends that believed in the Bible, but they didn't know how to unravel this mystery. So I explained that day something that they ought to know about the word day. And that is that the word day in Jewish idiom means any part of a day counted as a day-night unit. And as a result of that, there is absolutely no need to artificially demand that a literal 72 hours has to be accounted for. This Jewish way of speaking is particularly evident in light of Jesus' own contention that he, remember what he said? He would rise on the third day, not after the third day and the third night had ended. Well, there's another question that inevitably follows the first question. And that question is whether or not it is plausible to believe that someone could survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of a big fish. And I'm going to tackle that when we come back from the break. But again, there are so many of these apparent contradictions or stories in the Bible that people just they throw up their hands and say, well, you know, this has to be a fish story. This has to be mythology. It's part of the Bible, and therefore, you can't trust the Bible. The truth of the matter is, we can trust the Bible. We just need to learn to read the Bible for all its substantial worth. We're going to be right back in just a few moments with the answer to the question as to whether someone could indeed survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of a big fish. Is this a fish story? Should we take this as an allegory? Or is this part of a historical narrative? Again, we're going to touch on that, answer that question. In fact, when we come back from the break, as we go to break, once again, I want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are most certainly making a difference for time and for eternity. Only one life, soon 'twill be fast. Only what's done for Christ will last. We will be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we went to break, I was touching on the idea or the question that people raise so often, which is whether or not it's plausible to believe that someone could survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of a big fish, or a whale as it is sometimes referred to. And I think in response to that particular question, it has to be forthrightly acknowledged that the book of Jonah, which Jesus Christ is here alluding to, is written in the genre or in the form of a historical narrative. And the brief mention of the fish does not detour, at least from a literary standpoint, from the genre, from the description of Jonah's journey to Joppa, from his payment of a fare, from his conversations with the sailors during the storm, from the details of his preaching repentance to the people of Nineveh. The greater point, I think, though, is that in the Christian worldview, we presuppose the miraculous. We don't deny miracles. We say miracles are something that have to take place. I mean, the universe itself is an effect that presupposes a cause that's equal to or greater than itself. So just as the uncaused first cause created the universe, so the uncaused first cause is capable of supernaturally intervening in the universe that he created. In other words, because God created the universe out of nothing, preserving Jonah in the belly of a big fish ought to pose no problem for people whatsoever. And by the way, in this account, Jesus not only provides cooperation for this miracle, but he uses this miracle as the basis for prophesying his own resurrection. And as such, Jonah's miraculous rescue from the waters of the sea is, well, it's a type of the miraculous resurrection of Jesus, a resurrection which serves as an earnest of our own resurrections when Jesus appears a second time and transforms paradise lost into paradise restored. Perhaps I should also point out that the Pharisees, with sarcasm dripping from their faces, refer to Jesus in this passage as teacher. Obviously, they regard him as nothing of the sort. And then they demand that he perform a miracle that proves beyond the peradventure of a doubt that he is indeed who he claims to be. Imagine that. Jesus has just performed unmistakable miracles in plain view of these Pharisees. Miracles so authentic that they themselves invoke the prince of demons as the source. Well, Jesus naturally does not humor them. Why? Well, I suppose it is because he does his miracles to meet real needs as opposed to putting on a show. The Pharisees already have ample reason to believe. It was not that they could not believe, it was that they would not believe. The point here being that Jesus is well aware that the Pharisees have hearts of stone. Stone that even the ultimate sign of the resurrection wouldn't shatter. Instead of shattering those hard hearts, it would only cause to grow those hearts more callous and hard, more resistant to his love and grace. And this in concert with the rich man's request to have Lazarus sent back to his brothers so that they would not experience the torment of Hades and ultimately hell. Because why? They didn't need a miracle. They already had Moses and the prophets, and Jesus makes that plain. If they fail to heed Moses and the prophets, their stony hearts would not soften even if someone like Lazarus rose again from the dead. And then Jesus adds a final exclamation point by noting that the men of Nineveh would rise up in judgment against wicked people like these Pharisees because they repented at the proclamation of the prophet Jonah. And now, well, and now Jesus, a far greater prophet, was in their midst. And Jesus does not leave it at that. He says, likewise, a queen of the south, perhaps the queen of Sheba, would stand with the Ninevites in condemning the hard-hearted Pharisees who refused to believe that Jesus was the one and the only one who could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies. For she was willing to travel 1,000 miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and now a self evidently greater than Solomon was in their midst. The contrast, and contrast, as I like to say, is the conduit to clarity. The contrast here is between those who were eager to hear and submit to truth and those who steadfastly stood on the grounds of falsehood. The Ninevites and the Queen of the South had but a type. And now the one who fulfills all the types and shadows that came before him was standing in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation who refused to believe the one who was self-evidently the way, the truth, and the life. The application to our present generation should cause us to shudder. For we who dwell upon the earth after Christ's resurrection, after the ascension of our Lord, have even more evidence for the reality of Christ's message, for the reality of his ministry, than that which the Pharisees had. And yet, so often we continue to spit in the very eye of God, going so far as to destroy millions of living icons before they emerge from the womb. On the next broadcast, we're going to talk about Matthew 12, 43 through 45. This is where Jesus talks about an evil spirit that comes out of a man, goes through arid places, seeks rest, doesn't find it, and then it says, I'm going to return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. And then it goes and takes with it 7 other spirits that are far more wicked than itself, and they go and live there. And says Jesus, the final condition of that man is worse than the first. And then the application, direct, specific. Jesus says that is how it will be with this wicked generation. Again, we'll talk about that on the next the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when we continue with Matthew's Gospel. And I hope, as I said on a previous broadcast, that you are riveted to the words of our Lord. Because in the next chapter, when we get done with Matthew chapter 12, we're going to pick up the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, one of those chapters that I hope you will read and reread, that you will contemplate and ponder. We'll wait for that next time. And in the meantime, thank you for those of you who support this ministry prayerfully and financially. We couldn't do what we do without you. Do remember the book that I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, Christians in a Cancel Culture. If you don't have a copy of it, get a copy of it and read it. Joe is an excellent writer, and this is a much-needed resource. Again, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org, that's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.